Welcome to the Tracking Connections podcast, and thanks for listening.
We feature voices from around the world sharing stories of working intentionally with deep nature connection in ways that transform lives, families, projects, and communities. I'm Sarah.
I'm Aiden.
And I'm John.
And we are your hosts from Living Connection First.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 7. I'm here with John. This is Sarah. And we are hosting Peter Cow from Dartmoor and Sky Maria Boutonhouse from west of Ireland. Today, we're going to talk about bringing it home with the Eight Shields Principles.
Great. Well, thank you both for being here. It's really fun to catch up with the two of these people that I met, Peter and Sky, but basically around the same time. Moccasey Farms, Art of Mentoring 2011 in Scotland. A lot of things happened at that Art of Mentoring. That was a good one. I've gotten to work with Peter in a lot of different capacities, as well as Sky, through the Regenerative Design and Nature Awareness program that we held in California over the years. And both of these two are, they've just been at it. In spite of the pandemic and things sort of disappearing and falling apart, they've never actually stopped. And they've just done some wonderful deep work. And it's a real pleasure to have the two of you here and to have you tell us a little bit about what you're doing, especially how you're this notion of working with the lunar cycle as a guide for the structure of what you're doing and offering mentoring and sharing teachings with people in your communities. This is really, really wonderful. You could tell us a little more about yourself as a lead-in, but I'll first pass it to you, Peter, and then you can pass it over to Sky.
Yeah, thanks, John and Sarah, for hosting us. I'm really enjoying looking through the window right now and seeing a magpie going up into a tree with a stick in his or her mouth, building a nest out there somewhere. Really enjoying the surroundings here. And I'm here on Dartmoor on a farm, and I've been using the Eight Shields. I'm a permaculture teacher, but I've been using the Eight Shields more and more. And it's now most of my livelihood is running Eight Shields courses and mentoring and running events as well, alongside some permaculture teaching. And I love how it's enriched my life. And also a co-housing project that I've been working on. We really use the ACON model to develop our weekends, and it's just amazing how effective and connective it is to bring people together and use these Eight Shields patterns to create holistic culture and community. And it people love it and want to keep coming back. Even though the co-housing group is pausing now, they still want to keep coming back and connecting and having more meetups, because it just meets our longings for connection and community, this work. I'll hand over to Sky.
Thanks, Peter. I have a lovely image of that, of the magpie. Yeah, thanks for having us on here too. We're having some lovely chats before the recording got pressed as well. And I'm feeling grateful for that now. And I'm feeling grateful for, being together in this way, and that your podcast has brought us together. Yeah, I'm in the west of Ireland, where I grew up, first generation to some Dutch parents, back to the Landers. And the Eight Shields just fundamentally really changed my life, immersing into them, and changed who I am, and therefore my life. And it was something I was really hungry for at the time, having spent a lot of time looking into conservation and permaculture and different ways of looking at how I could understand what was happening in the world. And then also from that, how I could be of service in this time in a positive way. And the Eight Shields really helped it all come together for me and understand how we could repair our culture. And I spent about 7 years really dedicated to forest therapy work after doing immersion programs in the Eight Shields, and really looking at the importance of deep nature connection work in order to repair our culture. And then a few years ago, Peter and I, we met at our first Art of Mentoring experience in 2011, we did Ring One together. And we've been friends since then, and working together also sometimes in different capacities. And then, really came together in a stronger way professionally 3 years ago. Start to really explicitly teach the Eight Shields, not just have it be part of what my work was sitting within, but actually teaching the model more explicitly. And that's been a huge gift in my life to really, orient to it in a stronger way in that way, in terms of teaching and facilitating.
Well, we would love to hear how you're using Eight Shields to design some of the programs that you're doing.
Well, there's, John mentioned the lunar cycle, and we've just started an introduction to Eight Shields called Nature's Blueprint, which runs over a lunar cycle. It starts on the dark moon or new moon, and then people get a few videos to introduce the Eight Shields map and the core routines of nature. And then over the kind of full moon time of the cycle, they're encouraged to do an 8-day sit spot challenge, where they do a sit spot at each time of day that's related to the cycle. So they do an east sit spot at dawn, they do a southeast sit spot at mid-morning, they do a south sit spot at noon, and they do one each day if they can keep up to the challenge. And then we catch their story on that call at the end of that. And it's wonderful how, just noticing in my life, how plugging the course into the lunar cycle helps me to be aware of the cycle of the moon so much more strongly, just because I know when the course starts, when it ends, and I'm so much more aware of the dark moon, particularly because of those cycles.
Mm. Well, that is just such a fun image. And Sky, you're involved in Nature's Blueprint as well. What kind of things do you hear from people when you're catching their stories?
Well, I was really touched about, so because it's an introductory course and we run these year-long immersion programs, we wanted something in between, and we're aware of other Eight Shields immersion programs, like some of the offerings you guys are doing. And I hadn't come across a kind of like, what's the stepping stone, you know, to the more immersive programs, because Eight Shields is thought so experientially as well. So we wanted to offer like a little bit of a stepping stone there. And something that really struck me was with the 8-day sit spot challenge was, it, I guess it's quite a stretch, right, for people coming in, like to go out 8 days in a row and to go in the middle of the night and all of these things. But because we set the bar high, how people were dedicating to themselves, you know, most people didn't manage, say, those 8 days in a row, but people really managed many sit spots over, you know, that time, say the 10, we gave a few extra days, you know, because of people's life's commitments and things. So let's say over about 10 days, people did a lot of sit spots in 10 days. That was the result of that, whether they did the full challenge or not. And what really touched me, because we have one live call where we're story catching, is the depths of experience people are having, even people who had never had a sit spot practice, where they were going because of their strong commitment in a short period of time was quite extraordinary. You know, what the synchronicities they were already experiencing, the kind of insights they were getting into themselves and into their lives, that they really went out and sat in the dark, some of them in the deep snow.
Yeah.
And the gratitude that grew in their hearts, and also the challenges that people face, you know, that they didn't know, like they didn't know they were afraid of the dark until they actually went out there and sat there. And then what happened for them when they faced that, you know, and really sat there and found what felt safe for them and how they could meet that challenge. And yeah, it's just really beautiful, people's vulnerabilities and tenderness of their stories, really.
Mm. I think a lot of what I sense from the two of you and from our prior conversations was how important the container is to you. And, you know, the space you hold, you know, and how you cultivate that, you know, and I know you both have deep experience with that. And I think that plays a really important part in people being able to feel safe to tell their stories and to bring out that beautiful vulnerability and tenderness that you just mentioned. What's your reflections on that, Peter?
Yeah, I mean, I particularly feel that on our year-long course, Bringing It Home, which is 7 weekends plus a solo time on the land throughout the year, tied into the times of year that the directions are in. So the east is in March, the equinox. And using all the standard tools like gratitude, check-ins, small groups, we create an incredible intimacy and vulnerability and depth of sharing on that year-long course from people from different countries, different time zones. Yeah, the power and depth and the healing that can happen from that as well. People have healed illnesses in their bodies from being kind of exposed to this culture of connection and allowance and vulnerability and trust. And it's just really powerful for people to get that experience in their life, even when it's online, because they then go out and connect to their land around them.
So what I'm hearing from both of you is with the sit spot practice at the different times of day, right? And then the year long having it in the different seasons, my sense is that you're helping people to tune into the qualities of the different times of day, right? What do I feel early in the morning at my sit spot? What do I feel? What's happening at the middle of the day at my sit spot, similar to spring, summer, So there's that embodiment thing that you're doing as a group. And I'm curious, Skye, what your reflections are on that healing capacity for those.
Yeah, reflecting on this recently myself, you know, the name, bringing it home. You know, there's our home, that's our physical home, our home. You know, if we go on that ecological homecoming journey, it's our nature neighborhood. You know, that's a term we've been using recently as well. It's our home and our nature neighborhood. If we've connected in that way as well. But it's actually, it's first and foremost, it's bringing it home to ourselves. Mm. And so it's when I connect with the primary cycles of nature, and because I'm connecting with them, I'm aligning my own being, because we can't connect to something outside without those connections forming inside at the same time. Then it's like a discovery process for people. Well, who am I actually? You know, when I connect to my inner nature in that way, then what emerges is actually who I am as a human being. And so that's the healing journey. And then what are the things I bump up against inside myself that want to be healed, which is often shared culturally because we've all been brought up in modern society. And so we tend to have the same wounds, even though we all have our own unique version of that, or maybe we're impacted more or less by certain things. So there's also this beautiful collective healing journey in that. Like, it's so personal, but it's also so collective at the same time. And yeah, when we're all doing that, then as a group, we're going around like deeply connecting to the time of year and to the time of day. Yeah, it allows for this whole healing field really to emerge. And that journey that we can do, not only we can do together, we have to do together. We can't do it alone. We need each other to kind of, for those things to emerge that need to be healed. And then we need each other to actually heal as well.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. With the East weekend, we look at welcoming and safety and starting things in a good way, while all around us, spring is happening in the land and the flowers are coming up and the birds are singing. And it's such a beautiful reflection of this upwelling of human passion when there is safety and welcome and allowance reflected in the land around us. We write little poems together. Based on their sit spots for each bringing a home weekend as well, as a way of deepening into that, what we're picking up from the land around us and feeding that in together into the whole group.
Yeah, which is actually such a beautiful emergence out of that collective field, because I often use the word the little spirit door. So when we all write it in, but we don't press enter on the chat in Zoom until we're all ready, and then we press that button at the same time. And that's like opening the little spirit door, and it gets arranged for us in some way. And somehow it's always perfectly arranged. Like, the last line is so perfect always, you know. And so that's emerging out of all our connections and how we weave those together. Then we somehow find the medicine together of what that direction has to offer us.
That is so, so cool. It's so nourishing, even just to hear you both talking about it. You know, I can feel my own body, my own spirit, you know, drifting into that space right now. Such good storytelling and bringing us there. Thank you for that. Yeah, I wonder, Sarah, if you have any questions around that group energy healing piece.
Well, I feel like Skye spoke to it well, both of them, actually. The way I envision it, it's like we're in, say, the East together, and we're feeling that feeling of welcome together. So there's this healing of a missed experience, right? Where we're actually experiencing something that our nervous system is meant to experience and yearns for. And then Skye, you had mentioned earlier about the wound and the capacity for the opportunity for healing to happen when we're in a safe container and we have the actual resources to allow those wounds to move out. And I guess maybe if you have a story or an example of witnessing that, and then how it kind of may resolve coming through to the other side.
I think there's maybe a woven together story, like maybe an archetypal story in there that I see many students or participants of our courses going through, because we offer personal mentoring as well between the weekends, where each participant will have either Peter or I as a mentor. So we get to go deeper with people in those one-on-one sessions around what's going on. And it's like, there's often, like, I suppose maybe a word for it is shyer parts of ourselves that for whatever reason haven't fully come forward in life. Like, sometimes we call it a transformative leadership program. It's one way of describing it, but it's really, how do you lead in your life? It doesn't necessarily mean professional leadership. So it's like those tender parts of ourselves are those shyer parts of ourselves that feel particularly welcomed in that cultural of allowance, that it's like, you're welcome exactly as you are now. I think stepping into that field enough, which we really emphasize in the East as well, our whole weekend is we're doing welcoming things all weekend, basically, which is embodying that really core aspect of the East Shield. But it's also because that's where we're starting as a group. And then we build on that as it goes along. It really allows for people's full selves to come out. You know, it's the parts that they didn't know were welcomed. And then it's like that bravery that comes when it's like, I'm in a field of a culture of allowance where I know I'm welcomed, whoever I am. And now I can be brave, actually, and bring who I am fully forward. And that's what I've supported people a lot with around. There's an offering they really want to give the world and they know they want to. And from my perspective, often people actually are ready to, but they don't feel ready to yet. Like, I know they have the skills, you know, the particular offering they want to offer the world. I can see them in it. I can see how they speak about things and that they're totally in it. They've embodied it. But for some reason, they don't have the confidence yet to bring it out into the world. And it's really that full welcome that gives them, allows them to welcome their selves, actually, because that's ultimately what needs to happen. It's like a full welcoming to self. And then the courage and the bravery, yeah, that comes from being in that field to actually step into that then. And I'm just thinking actually about a participant of ours who did first year and then she did apprentice with us. So we take an apprentice on into the South role if someone's done our first year of our Bringing It Home program. And then she just completed the second year as well. And we had talked to her about continuing on maybe with us in a kind of a more staff capacity. And we had a call with her. And it was the most beautiful thing because she was just after 3 years of working with us. She was like, I need to focus on my own courses now and I'm going to do this. And it was just beautiful because it was, we were sad to lose her because she's so skilled and so compassionate and has so much to give. But that's exactly what our programs are about, you know, and she was ready to just fly on her own. And it was just so rewarding to really hold, you know, because people pop in and out at different points, but to really hold someone through this 3 year process and see that happen. It was just a real celebratory call with her.
Mm, that is beautiful. I'm celebrating with you. That's so amazing. Thank you for sharing that.
That example you gave of helping to nurture someone's gifts along, I often call that the mentor's gift, and it can also be the mentor's curse, because you can see something in that person that they don't see in themselves, you know, and it's our job to really cultivate that and bring it up to the fore. And I can't tell you over the last 40 years how many times I've seen someone blossom and I'm like, oh, thank God, they're going to help me now. Only for them to say, I've been called to go off and do this wonderful thing in the world. And I'm like, oh, yay, yay, and oh, you know. So that's a sign I think you're on the right track. But I think about the collective concentric ring of all of this, right? Because there's so much troubling news in the world and people are so feeling like, oh my God, where's this all going? But I just see so much beauty and so much goodness in what's going on in this network and so many stories of this beauty spreading, you know, and as our friend Sal Jen Curley likes to say, you know, there's communicable disease in the world, but why can't we have communicable healing?
Well, on that same note, I was actually really curious, Peter, how you perceive the work. What are you seeing as results of the, you know, you've been doing this for a long time, you're taking people through year-long journeys and knowing people year after year. So what are some of the things that you see shifting in people or in your community as you're continuing on this journey?
So in the UK, there were a lot of art mentoring camps in the 2010s, and then they faded out a bit. And then I started running them again in 2017 and 2019. We're about to run another one this summer called a connection camp instead. And what I've seen is that there was a lot of energy around the art mentorings. And then people, like John said, they kind of took this wisdom and they took it and did something new with it. So there's courses that are tracking with the Kalahari and they're looking at foraging skills in Dartmoor on a year course. And there's a lot of things that have been seeded and people's passions have come through and they've had the skills and the knowledge to develop their own businesses and their own programs, very much with the DNA of the Eight Shields as part of that for running the teams and the programs and the course design, but very different topics and contexts. And from graduates from our courses, our year-longs, there's a lot of the kind of Forest School people. And I noticed that they're more and more Forest School people that are kind of in training other Forest School leaders rather than just being Forest School leaders these days coming through our programs and that kind of network building around things.
How do you see it shifting people on kind of a personal level?
Well, there's something about that. I remember Mickey Dedger telling me recently about, like, we need to become strangers to each other as well. We need to, like, really root to our place and then not know each other's places so well because we're so in this place. There's a connecting and there's a commonality, but there's also a celebrating the differences between us and the different places and the different cultures and the microcultures that we live in. So it's a diversifying movement. People kind of finding their own strength and their own place and finding their song to sing, having been given the foundations of these healing, supportive cultures to bring out their gifts. So I'm seeing that. There's kind of a seeding of many different things going out from these central big events like the Connection Camp and the Art of Mentoring that are finding new expressions of life and creativity through people.
Beautiful.
I want to second that. That was beautifully said. Both of you are just, you know, you have nature's blueprint, but I feel like you're also speaking to the blueprint of what really needs to change and heal with our human family on the planet, you know, and you're just really very inspiring. So yeah, thank you both. And we'll be happy to connect you to Peter in the Sky and what they do. You'll find links on this podcast page, but also, I'm sure we'll have other conversations with these two, because we found in the wander that we had before we hit record, there were so many topics that we wanted to talk about. And we're like, this could be a 5-day podcast. but I'm really happy to have the opportunity to connect with you too, and hope that we can see each other in person again if we ever travel. You know, I feel like traveling is so different now, but I'm happy to be traveling through the internet to be in your company and feeling the strength of both of you, your commitment and your storytelling. You know, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Sky. And thank you, Peter, both for being here and for all the work that you're doing in the world. It's truly inspiring.
Thank you both. And I'm just like when we came on before our wandering conversation and I got to see the bobcats and the coyote on your background pictures, and just having, really immersed into the eight shields in California myself, and just, weaving that together with what Peter just said around needing to become strangers to each other again. And I just said no to coming and working at the Connection Camp in the UK, even though I have such a solid eight shields tribe in the UK that I absolutely love connecting with, but it's so that I can spend more time here where I am. So it's lovely to loop back in these conversations back to the wider network and also remember some of the magic of different places and different stages of life and communities. And
it's been nice to be reminded of California myself as well. I want to give thanks to you for carrying on with this model and finding other new ways to bring it to people and to weave it back into our culture in ways that we so need and the children so need us to be doing. So thank you for championing it for so many years and carrying on in new creative ways. Excited to see how this goes.
Wonderful. All right, thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Tracking Connections. You can find everything related to the podcast and our current offerings at trackingconnections.net. We'll see you next time.